You're on your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and it is a Friday, which means it's time to catch up with, well, now partway vaccinated, John Letts, former Melbourne Cup champion. John, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm going really good, Jordan. I was very hesitant, like most people, I suppose, are. They're going to have the injection, the vaccination, and I went down last night and had my vaccination. I woke up this morning feeling very good. There's no, at the moment, no reaction whatsoever. I've checked around everywhere because, as you do with these vaccinations, you check with everybody you run into. But I was quite pleasantly surprised because I was actually talking to the nurse and I, you know, right up my sleeve, and she said, "You're finished." I said, "What?" She said, "Finished." I didn't even feel it.
Well, there you go.
A little bit. No,
I was a much bigger baby about it, John. I was kicking and screaming.
I said, if I start crying, I said, send me home in a cab, will you? Anyway, hey, Jordan, something I wanted to ask you this morning was, you know, Paddy Ryder, like, the reports on him aren't good with the Achilles.
No.
He's on his Achilles. Now, you being a footy umpire, Achilles and ACL joints, they look, the Achilles to me sounds a terrible injury. It's a, you know, they come back after ACLs, but Achilles seem to take so long, don't they?
Yeah, and I guess the positive is, like, the I know with many athletes, they do bounce back from Achilles surgery. It's just, it's one of those parts of the body. It's wound so tight, like it's as tight as you can get really in your body. And when they do snap, it can be quite disastrous. And I don't really, it's one of those things, if I think about it too long, it makes me feel kind of queasy. It's just like, it's not a pleasant thing.
It's not a pleasant thing, and when I did see that, I thought, well, you know, whether you're back for their team or not, I hate to see injuries into footballers or cricketers or tennis players or whatever. Well, golfers, they don't get very many unless they get hit with a ball. But what's your thoughts on this? And I've got my thoughts on this, and I watch footy, and, you know, I don't listen to the commentary. Because, and if Bruce McAvaney and Dennis Cometti were back, I would. But I put it onto the mute button when I watch the footy. But what do you think about when these interviews, when they got the masks on? You can't understand a word they're saying, and yet they keep doing it. The channels keep doing it every, well, at half-time, quarter, and they're out there, and they're on the oval, and they're interviewing the players. You cannot understand one word they say.
And footy players are hard enough to understand in the first place.
Yeah, I'm sure if I was a football player, I wouldn't want an interviewer to come up to me and push a microphone in front of me every quarter and say, well, how do you think that quarter went? And if you're about 12 goals behind in the what do you reckon the football can say? Oh, we're going really terrific. We only got a kick 12 to catch up. But I find that they're a waste of time. Do something, we'll just show some of the highlights, mainly the highlights of the first quarter or the second quarter. But those mask interviews, they're just a waste of time.
I understand why they get them to put the mask on, of course, you know, COVID times, but I do feel for anyone who relies on lip reading to understand what's going on.
You've got a point there, you know. Now, the report in the paper this morning, hopefully YL is back on track, and as you know, Jordan, we're always thinking of those people. Even some weeks we don't mention them, but we do think of them all the time because they're going through a hard time, YL, but we just want to see, this time we want to make sure, you know, just everything is back on track and those people can relax and get on with their lives because, I mean, it's a day-to-day proposition with them, isn't it? And it must be terribly frustrating. But hopefully everything gets back to 100% for them.
For sure.
Yeah, good morning to Stirling North Girls too. Oh, what about this, Jordan? This is one of my pet hates, actually. And you know, I like to read the paper and I love to sit down and see what people's general opinion is, not only my opinion, but I love to hear people's opinions. And there's an article from a lady, Kate, this morning. And if only Family First candidate Jack Snelling had been so concerned for our rights when he closed the repat and crippled the hospital system, I think she might be right on the ball there.
Well, I mean, his current pitch for politics is a little, it's not quite along that line. It's a little more self-serving, I think.
Yeah, I think, yeah. But I love this part here, which was written by, and one of our listeners from Encounter Bay. And we will never have political harmony as long as former parliamentary non-achievers, such as Jack Snelling, attempt to make a comeback by resurrecting an irrelevant party to push their own selfish agendas. Quite interesting what people write in the paper, isn't it? Now, I've got bouquets this morning because I do really feel, and I think you might have the same opinion, when we look at around Australia with the COVID and how it just seems to be getting out of hand, this COVID, but here in South Australia, we seem to have done our three main advisors here, Stephen Marshall, Nicola Spurrier and Grant Stevens. I think they've done a terrific job here, because you look at Victoria, New South Wales, Northern Territory now, and the reports out of Northern Territory yesterday from the people that I know up there, they said that the hospital system is overcrowded. That's the information that I got from up there yesterday. And Queensland. Now, I'm supposed to go to Broome next week, but I'm not going to go to Broome now because I don't feel like I want to take that risk. I might get up there and might not get back. So, let's just put that on hold at the moment. We were doing with the Melbourne Cup Tour, actually, Jordan, this year. We were going to do Broome next week, and in about 3 weeks' time we were going to go over to Cairns and then down to Toowoomba. But that's a pretty dangerous area for me, and at my age I feel like I might do it on Zoom. I think that might be quite easy.
And, of course, you got to wait a few months as well for your second jab. Is it 12-week wait between jabs?
Yeah, I was surprised at that, Jordan. Yesterday when I went out and the nurse said to me, "I'll make your next appointment, John." She said, I went out and I thought, she said, "I'll come back in a couple of weeks." She said, I'm at the end of October.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, I think, another frustration with people with the government not pushing for more of the Pfizer vaccinations in the first place that it's a much more rapid vaccination program than AstraZeneca, which, of course, was the one that we could manufacture in Australia and, I guess, was a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, it was cheaper than that, but, you know, you get a lot of confidence out of listening to people, and I was listening to a professor yesterday on radio, and he was saying that when you work it out, you know, we'll put a figure there, say 10 million. Okay, we've still got 10 million. So say, what would the average be out of 10 million? This is just a pie-in-the-sky number. Say 10 million. Out of those 10 million, with the AstraZeneca, how many would have been vaccinated? About 7 or 8 million? And the other Pfizer, about 2 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is what he explained yesterday. He said, well, the thing is, if you're going to have 7 or 8 million out of 10 million done, you're going to have reports on the vaccine more than what you're going to have one that's had 2 million. Because if you turn it around the other way, then it might be they get different reactions.
Yes.
The other way. So I was quite confident of that. So I went down there last night. I was going to be a little crybaby and not and put it off as long as I could. But I went down last night. So I was very, very happy and with the result, and I felt really good. I spoke to a lady yesterday who was 80 years of age, and I was telling her about it, and she said, well, I went in, she said, I've had both mine, John. She said, I had never had a reaction at all, didn't even feel the injection. So that gives me a lot of confidence. I said, well, come down and hold my hand while I have mine done. I don't want to cry. But the thing was, if you're going to have it and you really feel you're hesitant, go and have it, because, look, honestly, you just don't even feel it. And look, the more we get out there, the more people are vaccinated, as you know, Jordan, the more that are vaccinated, the more chance we've got of beating this thing. And we're not going to beat it if half of the country's not going to be vaccinated. So it's going to be here a long time anyway, but it's going to be here a lot shorter time if we go and get it done. So just go ahead and, you know, do it. Just, you know, bite the bullet and go and have your vaccination, because I'm very, very happy now that I've had mine. Anyway, we'll get on to the races, eh?
Yes, because yes.
We fluked a couple last week. One was a good odds, about a 10-1 chance. But, you know, with these wet tracks, it's so hard. And tomorrow we got a soft track at Flemington. We had the races off on Wednesday, which was at Gawler because of the track. We've got another soft track tomorrow at Murray Bridge. Today the races are at Port Augusta, which is great to see them back. They were put off last week because of the weather, but tomorrow we'll be going to Murray Bridge. And in race one, I like number 5, a horse called Thompson's Reward. He's about $7. In race two, I like number 3, Stan the Caddy, $3. Race three, I like number 5, Left Hand Man, one for Johnny O'Connor, one of our younger trainers here, and he trained a double last week, which was great to see, former jockey John. Race four, I like number 1, Castle of Kings, about $3. Race five, I like number 3, Chosen Blonde. Race seven, race six, number 3, horse called Fighter. He's a Japanese horse. He looks okay, this horse. I think he's going to go places, this horse. Race 7, I like number 7, Sitting Bull. Race 8, number 3, Yulong Code. Race 9, number 7, She's a Cracker, and that's about $6. And then we shoot over to Flemington. And we got race one, number one, Dr. Drill's about $4. Race two, number 11, Stalking's about $9. We've gone for a few roughies over there because we're going to have a heavy track again. Race three, number three, Zorro's Dream. Hadn't been able to get home for us lately. He's been running the places. About $9. Still a good each-way bet. Race four, number seven, a horse called Lindout is $3. Race five, number 13, is right down the bottom, Pinions, about $14. Loves this track, loves the conditions, and I think we'll run a very big race. Race six, number 10, Viral. I've tipped this horse again. I've been tipping it lately, Jordan, because Craig Williams, one of our top riders here in Australia, has been sticking with this horse. And when you get on a horse and you know it's going to win a race, you stick with it. And Craig's on it again tomorrow. So race six, number 10. Race seven, number seven, I'd like a horse called Hosier's, very short price, but should win. Race eight, the old fellow, number two, Order of Commands, about $8. Race nine, number one, Shot of Irish, about a $13 chance. But before we go, Jordan, I just want to do something with you this morning. I wanted to tell you about, I had a piece of paper here with all the places that I'd ridden around the world, and I just wanted to congratulate Todd Pennell on winning the Jockeys Premiership and Michael Hickmott for winning the Trainers Premiership. It was a great effort for both of them to win that this year. So that's all over for another year, and we start going into the new season straight away. But, Jordan, you know, we talk about, we give that 60 seconds at the end of the program each week. And I was sitting down this week, and a guy actually asked me, he said, we were just sitting down having a coffee, and he said, now, where have you ridden, John, in the world? And I said, well, I'll go home and I'll work it out. And he said, and who have you ridden against? And this will take about a minute, I'd say, but I'll go through it very quickly. And a lot of people in my age bracket and a few years earlier will know these people. I know the jockeys. I know the countries, of course. I rode in the UK against Lester Piggott, Jeff Lewis, Pat Eddery, Joe Mercer. I think those four, Lester Piggott won 9 English derbies, and between them they would have won about 15 to 16 derbies. Ireland, I rode against Willie Carson. From France, I rode against Yves St. Martin, Frankie Dettori. The USA, I rode against Steve Corson, the $6 million boy kid. Angel Cadero Jr. These are all Derby winners. George Velasquez. I was lucky to ride against these guys because I was with a group of jockeys that we used to go around the world and ride against these guys. In Manila, I rode against a guy named Jesus. And I'll tell you something very quickly about Manila. I went to the track the morning that I was riding over there. And people here in Australia will appreciate this because I was at the track and I rode track work, and about 9:30 that morning I said to the guys that had taken me to the track, I said, oh, we'll go back to the hotel and what time's the first race start? They said, you won't have time to go back to the first race because the first race is in half an hour and we have 22 races. Now, Jordan, how would you be at 22 races for the day? We have 9 and we complain. Then we went to Mauritius with Robbie Sam and Michael Hurdalaka. South Africa was with Michael Roberts. Then Canada with Hugo Dispatch and Sandy Hawley. And in the US was Julie Crone, one of the girls I rode against in the US. And Singapore was Lisa Kropp. But, you know, when I sit down and I think about it after, how fortunate have I been in my life to have ridden against the talent that was there? So, you know, I wrote it down. I kept the list of it. And I thought, gee, I didn't realise until I sat down last night and just went through, you know, the different countries that I've been to, but it's been a terrific journey.
Yeah, and how many riders this year that are missing out on those opportunities to go overseas and ride as well?
Yeah, sure, because, you know, years ago we had a group, and there was me, Lester Piggott, Pat Eddery, Jeff Lewis, Joe Mercer, Willie Carson, East St. Martins, and all them, Frankie Dettori, Stevie Corthen. We went round the world, and we rode against different countries, and you know, I can honestly say we were accepted everywhere we went, and they were great jockeys. Well, they were champions, and when you ride against champions, you know you're riding against them, don't you?
For sure, for sure. Yeah. Well, John, we are just out of time, but thanks again for chatting.
All right. Now, listen, if you're going away for a holiday, and are you going fishing or are you just going bike riding?
Actually, I'm going to the Showdown for one. Yeah, well, may as well. You know, I may not necessarily agree with the AFL getting crowds, but if the opportunity's there, I may as well go.
Yeah, well, you may as well go, but I don't agree with the crowds being there either. But, I mean, it's nothing that you and I are going to be able to stop. So you have a good time there. Come on, Port Adelaide. I know you'll be wearing your black and white scarf.
Oh, there, yeah. I'm going to be sitting amongst Crows members as well, so you can trust me to be a little nuisance amongst that crowd in my Port Adelaide kit.
Wear an overcoat.
Yeah, don't go, try to go undercover.
Yeah. Well, for sure.
Well, John, we'll catch up next time. Thanks for chatting.
Great to talk to you, Jordan.
It was John Letts, horse racing champion on your Classic It's Breakfast.